morning is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 8, text number 1, given by Srila Ravindra Srupdas on August 31st, 1991, in Philadelphia.
We have the chapter summarized in one sentence. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshari, half lion and half man, and killed him. That's a new name for me, isn't it? Sri Nrikeshari. Nrikeshari. Ever heard of it before? No, there it is. Rikeshari. So that's the summary in one line. Then he gives a more extended summation. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his god existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child, and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time. And in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demon, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved to the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinnaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was bright as he sat on the throne. So that's the summary of the action in this action-packed chapter. Okay, so now text number one. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlada Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. See the Prabhupada's purport. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did while preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25, Satam prasangam mama bhirya sambhido bhavanti vitkarna rasayana pata. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat, or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. So, Sri Narada Vacha, Narada Muni continues his narration of this story. Thereupon, that means after hearing Prahlad Maharaj, Daitya Sutta, the sons of the demons, this is their private school for demons, like the military academy. Imagine a military academy, like Virginia Military Institute, someplace like that. when the upper classes sends its kids to be properly indoctrinated. Background of the school. So they're the sons of demons, all of them, having heard all the statements by Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Jagruhu, they accepted them because they found them applicable in their lives. And consequently, they rejected the teachings, opposite teachings of Shanda and Amarka. So now we have the stage set for a big problem. Shanda and Amarka, first of all, are in big trouble. They're the ones that persuaded the Ramakashipu to send the boy back to school. They would take care of him and turn him around. And instead, now he's got all the next class of demons turned into devotees. So this is a disturbance in the school. Just as though you can see the ability of Prahlad Maharaj, like one of us were to be one of you members of the younger generation anyway, were to be in some place like some military academy turned everyone into devotees, wouldn't it be a crisis? Wouldn't they bring in the psychologists and the deprogrammers, and all the parents would be upset and be big problems? Well, this is even more so from these people here. So, how was Prahlad Maharaj able to be so effective? Here he was taking a group of people who are, first of all, very young. So they have, people that age generally have short attention spans. They are not very receptive toward long-term instructions. Yet they listen to him. It doesn't say like his teachers, we had to threaten them, had to wave sticks around, had to... They'd listened. Because of his natural attractiveness of what he was having to say. So his preaching was potent just in and of itself. So Prabhupada inquires in the purport, this is the main thrust of what he has to say. Why is his preaching so potent? And it's not just that Prabhupada, oh, well, it's a miracle. Because sometimes you see something like somebody great does something, Sermon on the Mount, and everybody says, well, it's because he's divine, he can do it. And that's it. No. We have here some knowledge. And you may call it a miracle, but Prabhupada has said, miracle means that you don't know how it's done. That's all. When people talk about miracles like walking on water or things like that, they say, oh, that's a miracle. We don't know how it's done. So here, similarly, although here this was the business of making Krishna consciousness take root in somebody's heart. So there has to be some potency there. So where does that potency come from? Because in some ways you'll see that the message of Krishna consciousness is in some ways not so much different from that which has been said already. When Prabhupada would explain his basic understanding of what Krishna consciousness is, the karmas, they would be a little stuck. Oh, we already have that yet. We already have so many churches. They're all preaching love of God. So that was a little astonishing for some people. How do you say, what was his name? Fritz. Fritz was professor at University of California. I don't remember his first name. That there's that book, that little booklet or article. There's an exchange between him and Prabhupada, the German professor. What's it called? That man's name. Yeah. Well, he had originally started written an article that he was astonished that Americans, Western people, were taking to something from the East that was personal. That he, because we already have that here. He said, we already have personal philosophy, theology, Christianity is personal, Judaism is personal. So he thought it was interesting. Stahl, Fritz Stahl, Stahl was his name. So, Herr Professor Stahl, he's an expert in Agnihotra Yajna, in this field. Anyway, he was surprised that something like this would come to the West and be taken up. He would have thought that people would be looking for an alternative as something impersonal. But at any rate, he and Prabhupada had a correspondence about whether the Bhagavad Gita and so on really teaches Krishna consciousness or something else. But that was his surprise. And again, Prabhupada was asked in Gainesville on a television show, we already have so many churches here, why are you coming? It seems a little redundant. So you can see that saying, at least in name, that personal philosophy is taught. Everybody is teaching surrender to God. I mean, the very word al-Islam, for example, means submission. The basic rule of Christianity is to accept God completely and unconditionally and become the servant. These ideas are there. And you've noticed that they've been preached and preached and preached. Every town in America, every other block has got a church, and from the pulpit, the message is being taught. And yet, for all that, there's surprisingly little effect. Why is that? Why is there little effect? And here, at least, we see the example of Prahlad Maharaj, so effective. That even in the middle of the demons, he can achieve this success. So Prabhupada tells us, the devotee is qualified, sincere and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did in preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. So it is not just that you say the words, but all these qualifications has to be. If a devotee is qualified, sincere and serious, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. So this is the problem. You can say the words, but they won't have any potency unless the speaker himself is qualified. That is to say, is following, practicing what he preaches. practices, what he preaches, then potency will be there. And that's when it says qualified. He has to be qualified. So first qualification has to have heard from the right source. But as we can understand, the hearing is not... the process of hearing needs some understanding. What does it mean to hear properly? Krishna consciousness begins with hearing. But this hearing is not a simple thing. One has to hear in the right way. In fact, one has to hear with concentrated attention. And that concentrated attention will not be there if the mind is agitated, if the mind is impure. We cannot concentrate the mind. We cannot hear properly if there's impurities. And for the mind to be pure, all the activities of our lives, even the basic fundamental activities, animal activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all have to be pure. So that has to be to hear properly. So one, first of all, has to be a qualified hearer. In fact, that's really the whole of it. To be a speaker, one has to have been a proper hearer. If one has been a proper hearer, then automatically one can become a speaker. There's not like there's two sets of qualifications. There's no problem being a teacher if one has been a student. The problem is when one wants to be the teacher without having been a student. Then there are problems arising. But student means just that this Krishna consciousness is a serious business, and it depends upon realized knowledge. Therefore, the qualifications of a student are following regulated principles. Prabhupada uses these terms all the time, sincere and serious. Always there's two pairs there. So a sincere and serious student many times we would see when Srila Prabhupada was among us, he would come to visit a temple. And the temple would fill with people being attracted to him. All of a sudden, everybody would come from all over the place. And Prabhupada would get out the car, walk up the temple. You see the pictures, line of devotees, huge numbers of devotees, chanting Jaya Prabhupada, women are crying, people are going berserk. So he would come, stay 2-3 days, he would go away, and everybody would disappear. And there'd be a handful of devotees doing the work. So there's something of an illusion at the present day from seeing those pictures that when Prabhupada was here, there was a huge Krishna consciousness movement that has faded away. No, it was never big. If you count the people who were there on a day-to-day basis. So what is this? People that are coming and then would chant Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're the savior of the world, Prabhupada, we love you. And then disappear. Well, I think their affection was genuine. And perhaps you can call it sincere. I don't know, perhaps. But it was not serious. So it's good that people would come and be attracted to Prabhupada and be inspired by him. And they would say they would love Srila Prabhupada. But the same thing applies to Prabhupada as applies to Krishna. Prabhupada said this in a lecture. He was talking about loving Krishna, and he said, but where is the proof that you love Krishna? He said, if you love Krishna, you will follow his order. So I would say there's some feeling that Prabhupada was there for the spiritual master when he would come and chant, and people would cry, and they're not faking. But where is the proof that they loved him? So I would have to say that what they have is sentiment. It's sentimental. And that they like the idea of loving Srila Prabhupada. They like the idea of having a spiritual master. They're attracted to the notion of being a disciple. But it's a sentiment. But real love, we have to look at what Prabhupada said. Where is the proof? Where is the proof that you love Krishna? You want to see proof. So everywhere you have in the world, you have pious sentiments. You have spiritual sentiments. You have religious ideals. And people feel good getting around and expressing those sentiments. But for it to be real, for it to be sincere and serious, then they have to follow the order of God. Religion means to follow the order of God. Prabhupada's definition. Bhagavatam's definition. So when the order is followed, coming through the spiritual master, then the potency is there. Then the words of a speaker of Krishna consciousness will have an effect, will speak to the heart of people. They will feel some attraction. And they will begin to become qualified to hear Krishna consciousness. Like that. So Prabhupada here quotes from this nice verse in Kapila Dev speaks 25:25 in the third canto. Satam pasangan mama hirya santitu bhavanti vikarana Sāyara tāna taj yoshanāt āśu apavarabhārtmī svadhārathir bhaktir anukramishati. And says here that satam means among those who are sat, or pure devotees. Satam dasangat, in the association of the devotees, prasanna, mamavirya samtido bhavanti. Rikkarna rasaya kata, the discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. Rikkarna rasaya na, very pleasing to the heart, rit and karna, to the ears. There are these stories that take on this. We're not just ordinary. They'll not have that attribute if they are done by professional reciters, people who do not love Krishna. But in that association, they're potent. And it says, because of that potency, by hearing in the association of pure devotees, by cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begins. The first point, this is Prabhupada, is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious, and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or by study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. So when things never get beyond the sentimental platform, it means that one is attracted to the association of devotees, he likes devotees, but is not willing to give up the association of materialistic people. And because of that association, they remain on the sentimental platform. So it has to be done. The association of materialistic people has to be cut off. Otherwise, there'll be no appreciable progress. And one has to take a complete association of devotees. Association with materialistic people means hearing, chanting, other activities will be not about Krishna. It will be about sense gratification. So people are unwilling to give up that materialistic association, unwilling to become free from their attachments to sense gratification. Then we have to say it's sentiment. It's a sentiment. So we want to become preachers of Krishna consciousness. There's no need to contribute to the religious sentiment in the world. There's plenty of it. But in spite of all that sentiment, there is no change in the hearts of the people. For there to be change, then this process has to be followed. So one can become effective like Prahlad Maharaj. Hear properly from the right source, follow properly, and then preach just exactly what we have heard. Then that potency will be there. There's no need to make up anything, put twists on it or anything like that. Prabhupada always said, if you preach your realization, whatever you realize about Krishna consciousness. Now people may have different realizations, but that realization means that now something about which I have become convinced and is important to me. Maybe my realization is simply that human life is meant for self-realization. Maybe my realization is I'm not this body. Maybe my realization is that Krishna is a person. Or maybe it's all of these things. But whatever it is, that we should tell people. So they became, so here's the proof that they became so attractive to Prahlad. They were willing to give up everything else they had heard from Shanda and Amarta. And so setting the scene for a big confrontation. The whole PTA is going to come down on Prahlad now for subversion. Okay, any questions? Comments? Yeah?
Sometimes I meet people, like at the restaurant, and they're just running out time to time, and they tell me that they're Prabhupada disciples.
That may be.
Yeah, well, some of them, you know, they know a lot of that. And it's a little weird to see here that they don't change, they don't come to temple,
So, what is the meaning of disciple? Disciple means discipline. So in one sense they're Prabhupada disciples because they took initiation from him. So we should think that they're very fortunate and that someday, and actually if you sit down and talk to these people and you let them reveal your mind, you'll find out that what they're thinking is one day I want to again become Krishna conscious and go back to home. That idea is usually there in their hearts. They're still coming to the restaurant, still coming to the temple. But they're procrastinating. This is the effect of the mode of ignorance, procrastination. But they're all thinking, you have to give them this credit, they're all thinking, I know this, and if they talk long enough, their enthusiasm will be there that one day or somehow I want to get my spiritual life back in order. That much can be said in their favor. So those people should be encouraged. We'll see. I think many of them, as they gradually grow older and learn the lessons of time, and as their options for sense gratification close down one by one with the advancement of age, devotional service will become more and more attractive, if only because it may be the only thing they've got left. I can't quite hear what you're speaking about. No, I don't say it was sentiment. I can't judge anybody like that. Maybe. Anyway, even sentiment is something to build on. Even sentiment is something to build on. How can they serve for so many years and just give that up? Because there's a casualty of the material nature. That's what happens. And so what has to happen is that we have to try to make such a movement that those people will come back and keep the door open, anyway, for them, whatever it is. They can't preach Krishna consciousness, neither can they really appreciate it, because they're not following very well. But we should keep the door open. We should think that they'll come back someday or another. To feel sorry for those people who had such an opportunity for their spiritual life, and later on, the 5 or 10 year break that they took, you know, they'll be seen as irrecoverable lost years. Could have done so much and didn't. People regret that very much. They come back to Krishna consciousness. But we're supposed to understand that a person who once takes up Krishna consciousness and then, due to the influence of material nature, especially after performing service for some time, that person never undergoes the ordinary reaction of karma. And you'll find out that most of these people are unable to get themselves into sufficient illusion that they can really enjoy material life like they want to. And they're learning. They're undergoing an experience. The course of material life for them is a little different than it is from an ordinary materialist, because they're understanding. When something bad happens, they can't help but see it through the eyes of Krishna consciousness, and part of them says, oh, well, this is this, that is that, this is Maya. I knew these relationships were temporary. I know there's no happiness in the material world. So gradually, they're learning. So they don't undergo the ordinary course of material activities. But for ourselves, we should try not to learn in this way. We should just accept that the material world is miserable. We should just try to understand that without having to experience it for ourselves. That's what we should do. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.